First Peter chapter 3, starting from verse 4 and 4 to 12.
But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy woman also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
If you remember, we started from verse 1 and we ended with verse 4, and half of the verse we did last week, if you remember. He says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Now, we learned last week about outward appearance, all the silver and gold and jewelry, all kinds of diamonds and all kinds of rings and everything. But here he's saying what God is looking. God is not looking your outward appearance. He's looking inside of you. Are you born again? Does Jesus lives in your heart? Is your heart changed and transformed? That's what he's looking. And he says there is a real man inside of you. He says a hidden man. Now this is still talking to the ladies. Now he says that there is a hidden man. Each and every person has a man, the real man inside of you. You can be a lady or can be a gentleman. Because in the eyes of God, we are all his children. Amen. When God created Adam, he named him Adam. When he created companion, he named her also Adam. Yes. If you can read it in the Genesis chapter 5 verse 2. But in the eyes of God, we are all equal. The hidden man is the real man, you, inside of you. And that man is completely glorified with all kinds of God's power and all kinds of God's ornament. And those ornaments are not corruptible, and those ornaments are like a meek and quiet spirit. It's from the Lord. Yeah. Once you are born again, child of God, you possess the Spirit of God. And the people are going to see your outward appearance from your inward man. Amen. Nobody has to tell you how to dress, what is the dress code to go to church, what kind of dress you should be wearing. If you are born again, child of God, the Spirit of God will guide you. Amen. The Word of God says Spirit of God will guide you in what? All truth.
Amen.
But some people, even though knowing the truth, they do not want to follow the truth. Mm-hmm. Once you live by the Spirit of God, and then your life shines wherever you go, people are going to see Jesus in you. And then he gives an example. Let's read verse 5.
For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God
adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands.
In the old time. Why saying in the old time? Because people are changing in the new fashion. Every time somebody have a new fashion, if you go to the, what you call, the tailors and the custom-made clothes and fashion clothes, they have to change every 6 months or every 2 years. Why they change the fashion? Because they want to sell their products. And then they will get the movie stars or actors or some good people. They think they can use those clothes so other people will follow their pattern. That's what it is. But the Word of God says, think about the old time. The holy women. The holy people who trusted God. Those kind of people you look at. Our model is not a movie star. Our model is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what he said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And once you belong to Jesus Christ, then you reflect Jesus to the world. And so he is saying, the old time, the holy women who trusted in God adorned themselves. Now he says, up to now he said the holy women do not adorn. He says they adorn themselves. What they were adorning? Let's read the following words. Being subjection unto their own husband. That's what their ornament. Mm-hmm. That's what their beauty. Just subject to your own husband, that is more beautiful in the sight of God.
Amen.
God is not looking how much jewelry you have, how much cloth you have, how much perfume you are wearing, or how much beautiful makeup you have. He is looking at the married woman, how do you behave with your husband? Are you submissive to your husband? And that's what the Word of God is saying. Go to the Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 to 24.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church.
Okay, here is the point. Why wife has to submit or be submissive to her husband? Why is that? Because God put a man as a head. The wife's head is her husband. What does it mean? Our head is who? Our head is Christ. When you say Christ is my head, what does it mean? That means Christ rules my life.
Amen.
I have the mind of Christ when I'm born again. So the same way the wife has to say, I have the mind of my husband. What does it mean? I do what my husband says me to do. It is not easy. It is hard. That's why he gave the example of old time, the holy woman of God. So it says, when you believe that God made a man as the head of the woman, that means, if the your head is your husband, that means what? You cannot think anything. Let your husband say what you're supposed to do. And it is impossible for somebody to say, hey, I should not have freedom or what? No, it's not saying like that. You have your own freedom, what to eat, what to drink, what to do. But to when it comes to making decisions, husband has to say the final word and wife has to say okay to it. You can argue whole day, you can argue whole night, but you go to God and say, Lord, maybe my husband is not, he doesn't know what he's doing. You pray to God, but the final, you just submit to your husband, let him do it. If he makes the mistake, he will understand.
True.
But when God says he is your head, God said it and I believe it. Let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 6. Okay, did we read up to 24? Let's read one more time and then we'll go to.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Okay, in everything. If the church is submit to Christ, that means church has no saying how should we live a Christian life. Whatever the Lord says, we obey.
Amen.
So that's why I said the wife has to do everything what the husband says. And some people say, but my husband is not born again. My husband is not saved. Then there is another way to listen to your husband. Listen even to your parents. Listen in the Lord. If your husband says, don't go to church, don't read the Bible, don't pray, you don't have to listen to that.
Amen.
You give Jesus first.
Right.
Amen.
But if your husband is born again, then listen to him. Sometimes, if he says, don't do this, don't do that, and if it is too much difficult for you, you just go to God. God will change his heart. But if you listen to him, you will be blessed. Okay, let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6.
Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement.
Okay, now why the Sarah's example is given? Reason why? Because Sarah obeyed her husband in everything. She put her life in danger because of her husband. You remember what her husband said? He was a little bit selfish. I'm talking about Abraham. He knew he is going in the strange land and the people are going to see Sarah. She's a beautiful. So they are going to go after her, and if I'm a husband, they will kill me. But if she says, I'm a sister, they might come to me and say, give me your sister in marriage. But they will not kill me. That's the reason Abraham said this. But indirectly, Sarah was half-sister of Abraham. In those days, they used to marry, and still today, Muslims, they marry their half-sisters. So it was nothing wrong in those days, but when the New Testament started, the law changed.
Amen.
Now we cannot marry our half-sister or our own sister. It will be sin. But see, the word of God is saying, when the Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Lord means master. You are my master, you are my leader, whatever you say, I listen. And what happened? Because of that, she got into trouble. Pharaoh came and took her, and he would have killed the Abraham. But what happened? God spoke to him, and then he gave the wife back to Abraham and gave lots of money and things like that. But Abraham did not learn. He said it again. Now you do it again. Then Amalek came and took her, and then they got all kinds of disease and problem, and Abraham prayed for them and he delivered the Sarah. Can you imagine? If it's one time happened, you might say okay. If the second time, not a single wife is going to take it. She's going to say, you put my life in danger. I'm not going to listen to you, your foolish things. You telling me, I'm your sister, actually I'm your wife. Why should I have to lie? To protect you, my life is in danger. Can you imagine when she was there, how much problem she would have? And not only that, when she went there, they put all kinds of makeup, all kinds of jewelry, and made her so much pretty and beautiful. If Sarah would have said, hey, I like it here. If Abraham doesn't care about me, this Pharaoh cares, this Amalek cares, they give me lots of jewelry. I look into the mirror, I look beautiful. And when I'm with Abraham, I'm nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be here and be happy. Did she say that? No. She was still loving her husband. Not only that, she wanted her husband to be blessed. And another foolish thing she did. What did she do? She said to her husband, maybe God doesn't want to have children through me. Go with Hagar. That is a great sacrifice. But she did it foolishly, and she suffered for that. So what I'm trying to say, Sarah's example is given here. Sarah was a humble lady. she listened to her husband. But God blessed her finally, right?
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say, it's an example is given about Sarah. So he says, if you do that, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well. You cannot say, I'm daughter of Sarah and do not act like her. You have no rights to say, I am the daughter of Sarah. He says, as long as you do good things, like Sarah did, then you can say, I'm her daughter. And then he says, you don't have to be afraid. Sarah was not afraid. She did not come and complain to, what do you call, Abraham, don't do it again. If this thing happened, I'll be killed. She was not afraid even the stranger's house. And you can see she was a praying lady. The enemy could not touch her. No Pharaoh, no Amalek. They had the power. She was in their house many days, not a 1 day or 2 days, but they were not able to touch her. That is the power of God.
Amen.
Just like you are burning like a fire, and the enemy has no power to touch you. That's what it is. When you live a Christian life, when you live a God-fearing life, wherever you go, God is going to shine through you.
Amen.
And people, even though you are alone or you're walking alone, there will be angel protecting you. No murderer, no rapist can touch you. Why? Because you are protected by the power of God.
Amen.
And your hidden man is shining through you. Nobody will touch you. Let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Okay, now this is very, very important. Now this is for husband. What it says, likewise, he says, I talked about the wives, now I'm talking about husband. He says, likewise, you husband, dwell with them according to the knowledge given honor unto the wife. God has given us wisdom. Why? Because we have the knowledge of God, we have the power of God, we have the wisdom of God, we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
I'm talking about born again husbands.
That's right.
Once you have that, then you know your wife is a weaker vessel. She might be 300 pounds, maybe 600 pounds, but still she is a weaker vessel. God has made the wife weaker. You can say 600 pound wife, if the mouse, you just leave the mouse there, they will shout and run or, you know, get a heart attack. They are scared of little things or roaches or mice or dog or little thing, they will be afraid. But the boys are courageous. The man is courageous all the time. So he says, the ladies are weaker vessel. So what you do, when the weaker vessels are there, you honor them. You protect them. The husband's job is what? To love and protect and provide.
Amen.
That's what husband's supposed to do.
Amen.
God has given you authority, power, wisdom, and knowledge.
Amen.
You have to use it wisely.
That's right.
For the glory of God. And then why he's saying, why you do this? Some people say, well, didn't you say a few minutes ago, you are the head and wife has to obey everything. And if they're not obeying everything, don't you think I have authority to slap them or kick them or do anything? Because if they don't listen, I have authority. God has not given authority. Why he said? Because she is a weaker vessel. She is weak. When the weaker vessel is weaker than you, you do not kick the person who is already weak.
That's
right. So he's saying, if you do that, something is going to happen. Let's read that following words, half of the words.
And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
And being heirs together, what does it mean? He says, husband and wife, they are partners. They are together. You cannot separate them. That's why he says, when God joined them together, no man has power to separate them. So you are together, one body, one flesh. Go to the Ephesians and we'll come back to the Peter. Ephesians chapter 5, start reading from verse 25.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
Okay. Your wife is your body. Mm-hmm. You are one, you are not two. The day we got married, we became one flesh. And now he says you are one body. And not only that, she is also part of the body of Christ. You understand? The lady or a man, once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are his body and he is your head. Now when you take the communion, we say, you have to recognize each and every member is the body of Christ. Amen. And if you hurt one member, right, you are hurting Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You remember what Jesus said to the Paul? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Amen.
He was not persecuting Jesus personally, but he was persecuting the children of God. So Jesus saying, you are persecuting me. The same way, if you start kicking your wife, you are kicking Jesus. You are beating your wife, you are beating Jesus. That's what he's saying. This is my body. And he says, don't you know your wife also is your body? And if she is my body, then he says, you love your body and you don't hate your body. Why don't you love the same way your wife?
Amen.
It is very, very secret in the sight of God. And that's what he says, if you are partnered together, let's go to the Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Okay, Priscilla can read now.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
You are partnered together. Where are we going? You are going to go to heaven. That's the reason God has joined you together. So you are to help each other, prepare each other for heaven. Sometimes husband doesn't listen and wife says, you're going to go to hell. And the husband says, you're going to go to hell. And this we say when you are angry. But the word of God says you cannot make it your own. If you are married, you are partnered together to go to heaven. And somebody says, okay, I'm going to go to heaven, but I don't want to live with my husband in heaven. If you don't practice staying with your husband on earth,
true,
how are you going to practice in heaven? Yes. So here is saying, when you doing like that, and then you fight with your wife or fight with your husband, and you can go to church and nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Husband will say, shh, don't ever say what I did.
True.
Wife said, don't tell anybody, okay? Otherwise, I'm going to make whole hell loose.
Yeah.
So what happened? They say, okay, to keep husband's mouth, the wife won't say anything. Or keep wife's mouth, husband won't say anything. Do you think God doesn't know anything? God knows everything. Yes, book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God, everything open and naked to his eyes.
Yes.
You don't have to tell anybody.
Sure.
Only God knows. Or you go to your prayer closet. Sometimes you fight with your wife or fight with the husband. He said, now I'm going to go to God. And you start praying. And what's saying? Lord, zap my husband. He doesn't listen to me. Kill him. Kill him. Because I don't need him. I just need you, Jesus. But God says, hey, I don't need you. I don't listen to your prayer. What are you talking about? Go to your husband. Ask him forgiveness. And be one with him. Then come to me. That's what he's saying. He says that your prayers be not be hindered.
Yes.
What does it mean? If you come to God with a bitterness, wife or husband, your prayer will not be answered.
True. Amen.
So what we need? We need togetherness.
Amen.
Unity.
Yes.
Then God will hear our prayer.
Amen.
Even though you heard, the word of God says, love your wife. Mm-hmm. Why he said love your wife? Because he said they are weaker vessel.
Yeah.
They might make a mistake. They might stumble. They might say something against you or something like that. You have to point them out. Hey, listen, if you do like that, our prayer is not going to answer. Yeah. So what is our ministry? What we're doing is not going to be blessed. Go to the book of Malachi chapter 2. There is an example. This is for the minister, this example is given. And so, we are all ministers of Jesus Christ. If you are born again, you are a servant of God. Malachi chapter 2. Start with verse 14.
Let me say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant.
He says, your wife is your covenant wife.
Okay.
You made a covenant with God. Now people, when they get married, they have a contract with wife. I'm going to stay with you as long as you love me, or as long as we have money, or as long as you're beautiful, as long as you're not sick, I'm going to stick with you. When the problem comes, I'll be gone. That's the contract. But the covenant is for life. So he said, you have covenant with your wife. What is the covenant? I'm going to be with you until death separate us. And then we're going to join together in heaven together. We are partners for life. That's what we have to know. And now here, even the ministers, other day, I heard about one minister. He went with the secretary for the, what do you call, convention. And what happened? In the convention they go, and then there are hotels and motels. He did not take the big model. He went to the smaller one, like maybe he took his own, what do you call that, van with all the facility you have, mobile home. And he went to his own mobile home and living in sinful life with that secretary. God is all watching over him. What happened? Somehow the gas leaked in that cabinet. Nobody did it. Maybe devil did it. And the morning they were found naked in dead in that mobile home. What I'm trying to say? God watches over. The wife might be saying, my husband is good and he went with the secretary, I have taken care of children and things like that, and they go with somebody and they go out. The word of God says you should not be separated from your wife for a longer period of time. People go for a mission work and things like that. You go agree with your wife and say, okay honey, this is 10 days or 15 days or 2 days or whatever. He says only you do when you're doing fasting or prayer or God's thing. Other time you should be with your husband and your wife all the time. Money and all other things you have to keep aside. You have to be with your husband all the time. Otherwise there is a chances to enemy to come and interfere. Somebody said, oh, my husband is old, he's not going to go after anybody, and my wife is old, they are not going to go after anybody, and we are not living your that kind of life anyhow. But the word of God is saying, you are partnered together and work together and everything you do together. Otherwise, prayer will be hindered. And here it says, please read that one more time.
Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant.
Now here, the wife is not saying a word, but God came to know. He says, how are you dealing with your wife? Nobody complained, but I came to know, because God is watching over you.
Amen.
So the wife doesn't have to call police.
True.
Wife doesn't have to call pastor. She has to call upon God.
Amen.
And God will take care. Let's go and read verse 15.
And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth.
What he's trying to say, God has made you one. And you know, see what happens? Just think about Adam and Eve. God joined them together. But what happened? The wife separated from Adam and went and talked to what? Devil. And the devil mesmerized her and she obeyed the devil. And what happened? She enticed her husband and both of them fall into sin. And the first son was Cain. He was completely devil. Some people say that's a son of devil. Devil didn't do anything. Some people say, you know, the devil also does something. He didn't do any sinful activity. What was his activity? To entice them and change their mind and put the word, his word, in their mouth and tell God's words are not true. Don't believe God, just believe me. And they did. And what happened? God kicked them out of the garden. Then what happened? They were bitter against God. They didn't like that idea. Now they have to do own labor to bring fruits. Before that, fruits were already there and freely you can eat. And now they are murmuring against God. They were fighting against God. And that they brought the child into this world and that child learned everything negative, negative, negative. What happened? That child killed his own brother. That's what it says. When you living that kind of thing, you're supposed to produce a good seed. But then you're going to bring a bad seed into this world. When you're pregnant, at that time, you're supposed to read the Bible. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to sing psalms. When you do that, you're reflecting that baby. Baby can understand. If you're angry, that baby will come to know, even the baby might be of a week old. Baby will know the mood. Husband and wife fighting all the time, that baby can hear. And baby can understand. And that's why if the people fight all the time, and their children will be fighting. And that's what happens. So he said we should not be producing the bad seed. That's what Adam and Eve did. They produced the bad seed. Cain. All the prayer stops. And then word of God says, when Sheth was born, and the Sheth has another son, Enosh, and that's the time the prayer started in the house of God, or the house of Adam. So the word of God is saying, if you start doing that, you are producing a bad fruit. Let's read verse 16.
For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously.
So now God is trying to say, if you living a bad life or an angry life, hitting your wife, or even though if you don't hit, you're saying something hurting her, that's the word of God is saying, God does not approve this. So what does it mean? You have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And what he's trying to say, you're dealing with this lady when God has given you in your youth. That means once we fall in love with a husband or wife, I'm talking about the first day. You saw him or her beautiful, you liked him or liked her a lot, and now the days passed, and now you became old. Now what happened? You are not looking at your wife, you are looking at your secretary, or looking at a neighbor, or looking at a movie star, or looking at somebody, a pornography and things like that, and you are enjoying because you do not deal with your wife. So he said, your wife, remember your wife in your youth, how she was beautiful, how she was attractive, how she was good. Now you forgot that, and now you're dealing with her like a trash.
Sure.
So he said, don't do that. If you start doing that, God is not going to hear our prayer.
Amen.
Let's go back to the 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter 3, 8.
Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous.
Okay, now finally, he's talking about the brothers and sisters now. You all, what should have? One mind, having compassion to one another. Love as a brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. This is what the child of God is supposed to do. Love your brother, love your sister, love your wife, love each and everyone who is belong to God. And when you say be pitiful, that means you understand their weaknesses, don't hurt them, be nice, and be courteous. Means if they need something, if they want something, you provide. And that's what the brothers and sisters is all about. You know, if you are rich, and if your brother is poor, and if you don't help him, God will hear his cry. That's what the word of God is saying. And somebody says, well, he doesn't want to do anything, and he became poor. I'm not going to share my blessing with him. When God has given to me, I will help my brothers until they have something to stand on their feet. So, be courteous. Okay, let's go to the verse 9.
Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.
Amen. So our calling is what? For what? A blessing of God. So when we are called to be a blessed people, we are not here going to be evil for evil or grudge. He said something, one word, I'm going to give him peace of mind, two words back. That is not a Christian behavior. If somebody did evil to you, what you should do? We should not be doing it so that person will change. If somebody punched me and I punched him back and he punched two and I punched three, that is not going to end until somebody dies.
Yes.
That's why Jesus says, if somebody slaps on your face, what do you do?
Turn another cheek.
And some people say, that's funny. But it's not actually, if you actually say hit here, the other person will hit you. What he's trying to say, don't hit him. The word of God is saying, God is watching over you. We do not have to punish somebody because they did something to us. What the word of God says? Pray for your enemies. And what? If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them water. That's what Christianity teaches us. If you don't do it, you're going to lose your blessing. God has called us with a great high calling. And what he says, when you are called, don't turn your back. You keep on following Jesus Christ. The obstacle will come, the problem will come. Sometimes it comes from your own home, comes from your children, your wife, your brother, or somebody. And we get angry at them. Who is behind this? The devil.
Amen.
Devil is behind this. Not your husband, not your wife, not your brother, not your sister. Devil is behind this.
Amen.
And so we have to understand the tactic of devil. Instead of getting mad to that our brother or sister, get mad at devil and rebuke him in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, let's read verse 10.
For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile.
He says, if you want to see good days, you want to see a blessing, then the blessing is in your hand. In your tongue. If your tongue you use wisely, if you read in James chapter 3, we already studied that, James chapter 3, and learn about the tongue. No man can tame the tongue, but only man who is a godly, who is spirit-filled, God gives you another tongue. You praise God. You glorify God with the unknown tongue. And you will overcome the evil power. Because here it says, God has called you to eternal life. He loves us and He wants to have a good day. So He said, are you looking for a good life? Are you looking for a good day? Then control your tongue.
Amen.
If the boss uses his tongue bad, he will have problem in his job. If husband uses tongue bad, he will have problem in his house. He may come home and do not find a food. Or wife might be not home. He says, don't you think you're supposed to cook when I come home? He said, well, you fought with me, so you don't care about me, so I went for shopping.
Yeah, amen.
So anything can happen. So the word of God says, if you want to see good days, do not speak bad to your wife or to your husband or to your children or to anybody.
Yeah.
He said, well, what? I have authority to speak anything to my children. I can say anything. You're not supposed to tell me how to. But don't use your tongue, temper. Because if you say, don't do this, that's fine. But you don't do things, don't do this, idiot. Or any bad language. I'm sorry I use that word. But what I'm trying to say, we use more foul language to control somebody. That is not going to give prosperity to you in future.
Amen.
You are cutting down your blessings.
Amen.
Each time you say something bad to your husband, to your son, or your neighbor, or anybody, God is watching. He said, okay, your blessing is cutting off. Finally, you will have zero blessing. So here it says, if you want to see the blessing, that's what you do. Let's read verse 11.
Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it.
And once you don't do evil, then do what? Good.
Do good.
And once you got it, you just go after it. Go for perfection. Go for complete your blessings. Don't go halfway, but pursue it. Okay, verse 12.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
He's watching over you.
Mm-hmm.
He watches your finances. He watches your children. He watches your car. He watches your house. God is watching over righteous. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry. Some people say, oh, vandalism, I worry about somebody will come and do this to my car and do this to my house and do this. What the psalmist says, Psalm 127, he says, if the God is not watching the city, watchman's watching is in vain.
Amen.
The God is not building the house, the builder's building is in vain.
Amen.
So we have to believe our God is watching over me. The word of God says God never sleeps or slumbers. He watches over you day and night.
Amen.
Why I should worry?
Amen.
And some people worry what I'm going to do tomorrow. I have so much work, so much things. Spend some time in prayer.
Amen.
Spend some time with God and your God will extend your time. God knows everything about you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to supply your needs. But he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And his ears are open unto their what?
Prayers.
And other people, when they pray, prayer bounces to the ceiling and comes down. And they say, we prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happens. He says, are you righteous? Are you believing God? Did you give your heart to Jesus Christ? Are you controlling your tongue? Are you doing evil for evil? Or you just bless the people when somebody says something bad to you? If somebody says bad something to you, instead of saying something, say, God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. And just put it in the hand of God.
Yes.
I guarantee you someday around those people are thinking, I said so many things to this person. He never returns bad word to me. He never gets angry. Why should I say something to this guy? And God will change. The word of God says, his eyes is over you. Means wherever you go, whatever you do. Somebody says, okay, when I go up from the church, I go to the bar. They don't know where I am. Pastor doesn't know. God knows. Your wife doesn't know. God knows. So the God's eyes is watching over you.
Amen.
And he's protecting you. He's protecting from all the dangers and all the harms. Not only that, he says, my ears are open to your prayers.
Amen.
So when we pray for somebody call, please pray for me, please pray for me. Why are they calling you? Because they know your prayer, God answers.
Amen.
Our God is a prayer answering God.
Amen.
God is not going to hear our prayer if I'm bitter with my wife, if I beat my wife, or if I use foul language, or if I use my temper and start saying anything comes in my mouth. Bible says, be angry, but what?
Sin
not. Anger will come. Jesus got angry many a time, but he never used foul language. So the foul language when you use, or the bitter words you use, you lose your blessing. Bless somebody and you will be blessed. Shall we wrap? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Lord Jesus, please forgive all our shortcomings and give us grace to deal with our wives and husbands and brothers and sisters. We don't want to be angry and frustrated and say anything comes in our mouth to hurt somebody who is not hurting us. So Lord Jesus, we ask to forgive us. We want to love all our brethren.
Yes,
we want to help all our brothers and sisters.
Yes,
be courteous to them.
Yes,
Lord Jesus, because your word says you are watching over us. Every move we take, every move we do, you are watching. Please give us grace, O Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And let our life be blessing to somebody.
Yes,
because your word says you have called us for a blessing. And we are going to inherit the blessing of God. Bless all the husbands, bless all the wives, bless all the children and all the adults. And let us love one another as a family of God, as the body of Christ. And all the bitterness will go away from our heart and our lips and our tongue. Lord Jesus, give us supernatural power. And let us be united in one body and working for you. Winning souls for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.